Comedy Store Wrestling is brought to you by Pro-Am Belts. They make the coolest custom belts for any occasion you may have. We're in the middle of fantasy football season, so why not get yourself a custom belt instead of a little trophy? What is this, Little League? You want to be a champion. And these are the real deal. Real leather, heavy-duty plates, nothing like it out there. Follow them on Instagram at Pro-Am Belts. Make sure to use the promo code 10FF to get 10% off your custom belt today.
This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and I'm being joined, as always, by the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. How are you, brother?
Good. I've been watching WWE now, so my wrestling input has been doubled, and it's a lot of wrestling. I hope you guys appreciate what we do out here. I never thought watching wrestling would be work, but it is, to get through some of the segments I had to go through last night on Raw.
You know, they say that if you do what you love, then it's not work, right? I don't know. I love wrestling. I'm wearing my Bullet Club shirt that I received from Cody Rhodes himself during an episode of Being the Elite where they invaded Raw. So I figured with the reunited Bullet Club members on Raw, I should wear it just to represent. It's all wrinkly and smells like closet, but, you know.
I'm wearing my Kamala the Ugandan Giant shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees. You think, oh, wow, Earl wears a lot of Pro Wrestling Tees shirts. They must have a sponsorship. I don't. I pay full price, and I only have this one because they had a Kamala shirt called the Jungle Book. And it was like the evolution chart, but with Kamala at the end. And my black friend, Jay Washington, said, Earl, you can't wear that shirt. So
was the last one him with no legs?
No, that was the first one.
Oh, okay.
So I had to give that shirt to a homeless guy. So if you see a homeless guy wearing a racist Kamala shirt, it's you know where he got it from.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, like you said, there is a lot of wrestling going on, and we have some top stories today. I started with the very first one. Elias is back, and he has a real beard, not a fucking taped-on beard.
I didn't like the segment.
You didn't like it?
They should have let him do a song.
They kind of did. Didn't he play the piano for a little bit?
Not really. Then that bro guy.
Oh, Riddle?
Riddle interrupted him. And then who else interrupted him?
Rollins?
Rollins. And I don't know. I think that crowd would have been hot for a funny song. Where were they? Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
I thought he might, if he had any balls. Because, you know, he says some things to get heat sometimes.
Sure.
That they would do like a Timothy McVeigh line. And so, well, it's wrestling. I mean,
yeah.
And although his shtick is more humorous than like Jeselnik style zingers, I thought, oh boy, Oklahoma City.
Really thought he was going to do a terrorist joke?
Listen, when we were in the middle of a war with Iraq, Muhammad Hassan had a group of guys who looked like Al-Qaeda terrorists.
But they didn't mention 9/11 one time.
They didn't have to. you've got an Arab guy with Davari has like the Shah of Iran speak, and then six guys in like those Al Jazeera beheading video outfits. I don't think you need a sign in the back that says 9/11.
Yeah.
I thought for a second, you know, look at some of the things that pro wrestling has thrown out there. And, you know, Eugene, Bischoff's retarded cousin. So that was my only complaint is it's a humor segment. I thought, oh, maybe.
Your only complaint is that in the comedic segment, they didn't mention the terrorist. Oklahoma City bombing.
I just think that they should have. That crowd would have popped hard for a song. So,
yeah. I think he's coming in as a babyface right now. I think they're not doing the heel work for him because he attacked Seth and kind of helped Riddle, who's a face. So. I think, you know, a terrorist joke would have made him a heel if he would have done it. But,
no, 100% it would have.
But the baby face Elias, we've seen it before, and that was the whole shtick, was him getting interrupted when he was a face. Never get a song off.
I also don't like that the announcer ruined it. Like, he would have got a bigger pop if they didn't introduce him. The return of Elias. Like, it would have been a bigger pop. Like, welcome back to Raw, Elias. It would have just been better if he did the guitar strum.
Yeah.
And just started the segment like that. Everybody would have went nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have seen him get... And I know there's time constraints. At least a walk down the ramp. Or some kind of, like, surprise where, like you said, the announcer kind of ruined it, and then they just go to him in the ring. Clearly, the crowd sees the two guitars and the keyboard being set up by the roadies. So, wrestling's all about that surprise, and I don't think anyone thought he was coming back last night. So. Yeah. But, I mean, we're nitpicking a mid-card character.
Sure, sure. I'm just happy he has an actual beard. What was it the last time when he was Ezekiel cleanly shaved? How long ago was that? 2 months?
Probably. I think it was like
that's
right
a pretty impressive
SummerSlam.
Beard for 2 months. I mean, it's not back to its full length, but you know, it's enough.
And he looked a lot bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot bigger in a 2 month time span.
You know, I think I'm excited. I think he's going to be chasing after Rollins. I'm assuming from what happened because he ended up interfering and costing Rollins the match. But you know. I don't want to see him go straight to a title shot, but we'll see what happens. I'm just glad he's back, and we don't have to deal with the ridiculousness of Ezekiel much longer.
I mean, he's to me like Orange Cassidy. You know, they're great wrestlers. I mean, for a big man, he's not a bad wrestler. Mm-hmm. So I hope that he's allowed to be a little more serious and not just a job or two like the Rollins and the people of that, the Corbins and the McIntyres, where he's be the perfect guy to just make the others look good, because he's pretty good.
Yeah, I remember at one point thinking they're going to put the belt on that guy when he was super, super over at like his peak. I swore he was going to get a belt, but we'll see. Next on the news, speaking of, you just mentioned him, we had a return a few months back. Happy Corbin was down on his luck and kept losing, and then all depressed, he jumped into a limousine with some giant longhorns in the front. Everybody knew it was JBL, but they were playing it up like, who could that be? Whose car is that? It's like, we know whose car that is. But he finally came back with JBL. I love the pairing, but what the fuck was he wearing?
Yeah, that's my only complaint about that segment. I mean, I don't like JBL. But, he is a good heel commentator or, whatever you want to call him. I guess almost a manager now. He's not going to wrestle anymore.
No.
But that outfit Corbin had on, it looked like something one of the Village People would wear. So
yeah, I mean, when he first came out, I thought he was wearing a loincloth, and those were his bare legs. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I got a better look. I'm like, that still sucks. And that weird little tank top that could easily be a female tank top. I don't know. When JBL announced him as Mr. Baron Corbin, I popped because I thought, wow, we're going to get Baron Corbin in a suit, and maybe he'll play like a Vince McMahon type of character. Because, it was Mr. McMahon. So I was like, man, maybe we're going to get a Baron Corbin pretending to be Vince kind of character, or him in a suit, or maybe even just him as like a Wall Street kind of guy, and JBL is his rich Texas billionaire, backer or whatever you want to call it. But
I mean, I'm looking at this outfit right now.
What the fuck?
That top looks literally like something you'd get at a Leather Daddy shop. And trust me, I know where those are.
Yeah.
The pants are a little, it looks very, and it's strange to say this about the WWE, it looks kind of low budget.
It's very low budget.
Like, it literally looks like something you could get at Ross for Halloween. So. I think he's got a good mouthpiece in JBL who can talk. I'll give him that.
I think they got time to fix this. I think it could become something great if they kind of go towards that angle of make Corbin more of a, a straight guy with a suit, and he's a wrestling god. He doesn't look like a god.
Well, it just looks like they just threw this outfit together, like, here's a leather top, give me those pants, and let's put a top hat on him. Like,
yeah.
It just doesn't You don't see WWE often, even though I'm much more an AEW guy. You don't see them often doing things half-ass. And it's just an outfit. Yeah. But outfits do make wrestlers. Like, JBL looks like a great heel manager in his tailor-made suit and the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
But this just looks like, you know, something they got at, you know, I don't know, either a sex shop or a
fetish factory.
You know, Fantastic Sam's on sale.
I mean, I'll say this, the awful outfit has a new logo for him on it, which I kind of dig. It's his B and a C. And then, you know, it looks like a logo. He never really had one, so that's fine for merchandising purposes, but you could do better than that, guys.
Well, it's not very, you know, wrestling, unless it's like a fat character, you know, when you get to Corbin, McIntyre, you know, Rollins, of course, it's very body conscious in terms of, I mean, in this, it looks like he has a bit of a belly.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the best fitting out. I know he doesn't have a belly, but like, it's not very flattering to his body.
Well, actually, I'll give you some insight. A few years back when he first debuted, Vince McMahon didn't want him to take his shirt off because he had what they called skinny fat. So he was skinny, but he had a little bit of a flabby skin on the belly area. So Vince McMahon prohibited him from taking off his shirt, which was pretty bad.
Well, just a couple rounds of HGH and you'll just be right. And Vince is the dollhouse.
Yeah, call Trips' his guy. He'll get you all hooked up.
Get that doctor who gave Benoit the goodies.
Oh, no. Oh, man. All right, so next up, I have NXT. NXT, you know, I was a fan of the Black and Gold brand. I didn't like what they did with 2.0. But all that time, they never really talked about NXT in the main show. Now they keep mentioning it. If you pay attention, almost every commercial break, they bring it up. Oh, NXT 2.0, we're going to have this event happening, and there's this pay-per-view happening, and now they're bringing in main roster talent back to NXT. Like tonight, I didn't watch it all tonight, but Rhea Ripley showed up, Shinsuke Nakamura showed up, and they've got Cameron Grimes teaming up with the Good Brothers, so they're putting way more effort into making NXT an actual brand that you want to watch again. A lot of my friends were hitting me up that there was really great matches, too, between some luchador called Axiom and some other guy, which I'm not familiar with. But it looks like I'm going to have to start watching NXT again, which is kind of upsetting because there's so much fucking wrestling to watch at this point. But I don't know. I'm interested in seeing where this is going.
Not to ruin it for you, but I think we're in the middle of ratings week.
Ah.
So I don't expect, I mean, we have Halloween Havoc for NXT on Saturday. I don't expect that much crossover to continue. It might, there are a few stories that I think like Sonya Deville might be back there just because Mandy Rose and that whole thing, but it's ratings week, which it makes sense why so many people
showed
are
up
appearing on NXT. Because, I mean, when they were on NBC, when they were on Peacock and it was just an app show, I don't think there were that many crossovers. And now that they're on USA needs ratings.
Yeah. That makes sense. I hope they keep the crossover going. I mean, that was kind of how the show started back in the day. It was, you know, mixing it up with the main roster people and helping elevate the younger talent. And you need that. You need the rub from the experienced veterans on the younger guys so they can not be so green. Because that's the problem with NXT 2.0. It was a fresh cast, basically. Almost all the people they brought in, I had no idea who they were. At least in the Black and Gold era, it was a lot of independent wrestlers. So I'm like, oh, I know that dude from, you know, PWG and this and that and the other. With 2.0, it was just a bunch of athletes that they were training just to make them stars. And that's not enough. You need to have the rub. You need to have the veterans there to help them out. So I'm going to start watching NXT, I guess, and see where that goes. If it starts turning to shit again, I'll stop.
I mean, I'm excited just because I don't really watch NXT, and full disclosure, I will now, but it kind of gets these guys' names to the casual fan who, you know, wrestling fans are blue-collar people for the most part. They work, I would say, in general, 9 to 5 or graveyard shifts, so they don't have time to keep up with, you know, WWE, AEW, NXT, New Japan, AEW Dark, Dark Elevation, like it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, PWG, you know, the thing Nick Cage is in. What is it, GCW?
GCW.
I mean, who has, I'm going to XPW Saturday. You're going to the Sheik. All right, we're both going to the Sheik.
PCW Ultra.
So it's like, who has the time other than me and, well, a canceled comic who's got no more gigs to watch all this wrestling? I didn't want to say his name.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I got, you know, I was at New Japan. What was that?
Yeah, Sunday for 8 hours. Like,
boy, I mean, it was great. I got to see Jay White. I got to see Suzuki. I got to see Tanahashi, Rocky Romero, who invited me to the show. So thank you very much for the tickets, Rock. But, you know.
Fred
Rosser was, it was up against Jay White. I mean, that was a big match of champion versus champion. It was a good card, but it's a lot of wrestling. It's a lot.
I just don't want NXT to devalue the Raw and SmackDown. Like, the fact that Sonya Deville has not held a singles title is insane to me. She's one of the best actual wrestlers on the roster. So for her to go, I was watching NXT tonight. Spoiler, I mean, by Monday it'll be out. But she loses. She fucking loses. I'm like, we can't send the good wrestlers down there to lose to the NXT stars if it's not a long-term storyline, which Sonya might be, but I was like, this is such a fucking disservice for Sonya, who was out for a year because of that stalker thing.
Yeah.
Now she's going and losing to these people. Also, unrelated, well, kind of related, watching NXT reminded me of AEW. There's a lot of botches.
It's all very talent.
Yeah, I was not expecting as much as many as I saw, and I was like, okay, I got it. AEW's top product is their NXT.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of a like what Triple H said in that interview. Congratulations, AEW beat our developmental brand.
Yeah, and it's crazy because that's what it is, and I'm fine with it. Like, watching it and knowing it was developmental, I was like, okay, this reminded me of AEW, but this is where they should be botching things Tuesday night on USA.
Right.
Yeah, but you know that bothered Triple H, just the fact that he mentioned it.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, AEW, I wouldn't say it's quite NXT level. Like, they've got some pretty big names.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I mean, I understand it's production-wise, for sure, it's not in the WWE's ballpark. But, you know.
Well, no, I'm talking about the guys that aren't known. Not, I guess, CM Punk and Jericho do have their botches every now and then. But they're like the Guevaras, the guys that weren't household names until AEW.
Their entire women's division.
Oh, the women's division is just, I really am rooting for them, and it's just intolerable.
But at least they're trying to get in some newer women, like, you know, and I think, you know, in terms of the women's division, they're underutilizing Vicky Guerrero, who one is a name, and two is a very good heel. Like, you know, she could make or break someone to a degree in the women's division, but like, she's been on air like twice in the last 4 months. Like, she should be in significantly more because she is one of the few people in that division who is known. Yeah. So even the casual fans, people, oh, that's Vicky Guerrero, Eddie's, you know, blah, blah, blah. So,
and at risk of sounding a little racist, I think that also the pairings have been off for Vicky. Vicky needs to be, I think, with a luchador female, a female luchador, a Mexican wrestler, somebody that fits in line with that Eddie Guerrero name, that lineage, that heritage. Like, I think that would be way more exciting to watch than her with Nyla Rose or her with... I don't even know who was the last person. She came out and like, excuse me, for somebody. I don't even remember who it was.
But that instantly gives that person, I forget who it was, but like it gives him a little bit of credibility. Just
sure, yeah, yeah.
And she's, yes, that's incredibly annoying when she does that. But that's the whole point.
Yeah.
You know, and like as soon as they do that pre-taped, excuse me, I think it is, or unless it's her in the back. With them, you know, it's like, oh my God, not this crazy bitch again. but you know, that makes people want to watch, and yeah. So, I do think they need better managers in AEW because a manager, like I grew up in the era where a manager made a wrestler who didn't have a great skill on the mic.
So
you can make the women's division a lot better in AEW specifically if you had some managers who could like that. Who's the girl who comes out with Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. She does nothing. Like, literally just sits there in a pair of skin-tight leathers with her jugs flapping out.
I'm not complaining about that.
Well, I came three times last week on but, like, I just hate... it's just, she's just there. Like, do something or don't have her there. I'd rather see Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, not that Britt Baker needs Vicky Guerrero, but, like, Rebel, is she a wrestler? I don't even know what she does.
I mean, I think when she first came out, she was already injured. It was weird. She was, like, in a
But also,
crutch.
I appreciate them saying, hey, speaking isn't her strong suit. Let's let her just be the muscle. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do with Paige, because Paige is terrible on the mic and she's one bump away from complete paralysis. So, like, yeah. Bringing her in, what, for the name recognition? Her return wasn't as big as I think any other big name return. And she literally cannot do anything for them.
Just make sure you get that bump on camera. like, knowing AEW, the camera guy will probably be off in the crowd taking a promo shot of some loser wearing a Danhausen shirt. Like, yeah. No, but I hate, like, that's where you don't see that in WWE too much with a wasted character. Like, there's no one in WWE who's just there in the background. They're doing something or they're not on camera.
Yeah. So
she might be great as a heel or manager or whatever. I don't even know what she does.
She doesn't do anything. She's just like John said, she's just muscle, really.
But do the muscle shit. Like, yeah. Like, do something. I mean, she looks great. I mean, I saw her, by the way, I think AEW's back in LA January 11th, my buddy told me.
Oh.
So you know where the three of us will be.
Yeah, let's not burn too many bridges talking shit about the product, right?
I buy my own tickets, so I can be more honest. That's I don't rely on freebies. So I'm going to go to Burberry tomorrow and get a $400 scarf.
In preparation?
Because I'm not going to AEW.com. I've already bought about 14 shirts the last 2 weeks from them. Not one discount.
Pro Wrestling Tees, shopaew.com. Hook us up. Well, WWEshop.com, hook us up. What's up? We're spending a lot of money.
No, I'm spending a lot of money.
I've been buying, too. I just bought the Wyatt shirt and the fucking Good Brothers shirt. Bought the Dark Order and the Malachi Black. I mean, yeah, we're buying shirts. This podcast is making me broke because I convinced myself that I need new shirts every week.
Well, this podcast, you want to know how much we make on this podcast? I'm going to give you some of my Bobby's math. 0 + 0 = 0. So at least follow us on Twitter, at Stores War. We'll get the plugs out of the way midway.
Yeah, right. Moving along, we've got another story. The Crown Jewel matches are starting to line up. Obviously, we know that Roman versus Logan Paul is happening. Unfortunately, I know that John's excited, but I'm probably not going to watch that match. I'll watch it, but
You're not the least bit curious. This is their one chance to shock everybody and be like, Logan just knocked Roman out with one punch.
I mean, the only thing that would make John watch that match is if Moxley entered from the bottom of the ring and cut a 20-minute promo.
Oh, my God.
But they also announced the OC, AJ Styles and the Good Brothers, will be going up against Judgment Day. I'm excited about this because I love the OC. I love the boys. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson and AJ are my homies. But I don't know. I like Judgment Day. I just don't see Dominic Mysterio as he's not going to keep up with this match.
I do like him.
Too much
him,
talent
though.
In that ring. Dominic? Yeah, no, I like him too.
He's growing. Like, yeah, he's not probably ready to be on the tube in terms of promos just yet, but he is getting better. Yeah. Like, you could tell almost week by week. I'm sure Triple H is flying him out here, take acting lessons in terms of how to act like a bad guy in a promo. There's nothing we can do about your Eddie Munster look. That's just your face. but, you know, or the giant baby giant Gonzalez. That's my name for him.
Jeez.
But I see potential in him. I know it's hard to look at legacy people, you know, and they're just here because of their dad, or Charlotte with, you know, who her dad is, and others. But there's something about him. I see it in him. I don't know what it is, but I see it.
He could benefit from NXT. I think Bron Breakker is going to make his way up to the main roster and fucking crush, because he had the NXT upbringing, and I think Dom is it's doing him a disservice. We didn't talk about it last week. My favorite part of Raw last week was Dominic getting smacked in the face by Gallows.
Oh yeah,
that was my favorite uppercut.
So nice.
I've wanted him to get hit like that for so long.
Gallows has that old school Undertaker slap.
Yeah,
it's the up chop thing.
Yeah. They replayed it this week. I was like, I forgot he did that. That made me so happy. That was the first hit. The first hit was Gallows just cheap-shotting him, and I was like, good.
Yeah, that was great.
I think that's his New Japan background, where they wrestle basically, not I won't say for real, but like...
Pancrase style?
King of Pancrase, Boss Root, and I bought his home training system. Man, that sucked. what are you going to do, complain to Boss Root?
Yeah.
But I think that's the problem with these New Japan guys when they come back to, you know, either company, is that they have a hard time dialing it back.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, what happened to the guy from AEW, the MMA manager, the real Dan?
Dan Lambert is out.
He just disappeared.
No, he's done. Okay. I saw an interview with him and our buddy Chris Van Vliet where he said he felt that that what they were doing was starting to get stale, so he backed out. He said, I'm good.
Okay.
And he said if a new idea pops up. Also, they were positioning Ethan Page, who was one of the guys. They were positioning him to work with MJF and the firm.
Okay.
And Scorpio got injured, so Dan was just kind of floating around. But that, you know, in turn, Paige Van Zandt has been missing from TV as well, and she got the little graphic. She got the little All Elite graphic, and she hasn't been on TV. I think she's done too.
That's, you know, it goes back to my 7,000th time saying this. That's one of my, and it's probably my biggest complaint about AEW, is that they just, the storylines just like go into the ether.
They just dissipate.
There's no ending. Like, he was pretty good. I thought they should have dressed him up in a suit, because he had a very unskilled right now, but a J.J. Dillon vibe in terms of being that a-hole manager. And I thought, now, he's a legit MMA I think it's American Top Team, if I'm correct
American
on
Top
that.
Team, yeah.
So he's got a legit business, and like he's got to train actual fighters for the UFC and Bellator. But I thought he showed potential. He, you know, the whiny, you know, heel manager. But I guess
out calling everybody snowflakes and shit. I mean, it was getting real heat, you know.
But I didn't like the outfits. An outfit, I think, would have given him a little credibility. Put him in a suit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, like Paul Bearer or something.
Well, I'm excited to see this OC versus Judgment Day match, because I'm a fan of both. And I am also excited to see where this story goes, because, like I said last week, we really haven't had an AJ versus Finn feud. We had that one-off match. I want to see some more of that. It's exciting to me. And if there are... working with New Japan, which it seems like they are, because Carl Anderson is still the never open weight champion, and New Japan is still retweeting WWE stuff. You know, we can get some Bullet Club interaction with what's, you know, with Jay White and them in WWE. Who even knows where that goes?
Yeah, I mean, it's a crime that Jay White is not utilized. I mean, this is the confusing thing with me. So will Jay White come on AEW TV, or now that they have a New Japan thing with WWE, would he go there?
He might. He might. He goes where the money's at. That's the catalyst of pro wrestling. Jay White will do what he wants.
So is New Japan in the middle? Are they playing both sides with...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't know how that works, but...
Yeah, they're playing both sides so they can always win. It's like the It's Always Sunny philosophy, but... you know, they go where the money's at. And if WWE is willing to work with them and pay them money, they're going to go there. AEW had a good relationship. They did their Forbidden Door thing. But I think, ultimately, who knows if New Japan ends up being the thing that brings everyone together. We might get a Forbidden Door with AEW, New Japan, and WWE down the road. Who knows where this is going?
You know, and normally I would agree with you. That would be amazing to have one WrestleMania where it's all three companies, but there's no way, as long as Vincent Kennedy McMahon is alive, he will allow one AEW guy or girl to go over his talent.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it'll be like the WCW invasion days. Everybody lost.
God.
Everybody lost.
And all the guys, even who weren't in the invasion angle, you know, Sting, Booker T, you know, all of them eventually jobbed out and were made to look much more inferior than they actually were.
Yeah.
Well, that's an opportunity for a Survivor Series where you could put all the bad guys on one side, one of the good guy, all the good guys. So either way, whichever side wins, a WWE superstar wins. But
you Super Survivor Series Forbidden Door. Woo, yeah. Boy.
Oh, imagine. Yeah. MJF again, like who doesn't
MJF
matter.
And Rollins versus like
that promo
Riddle and
he cut tonight. I didn't think he could
wait. Who
MJF?
Wait, was it on tonight?
They're on Tuesday night tonight. For sure.
There's a Tuesday night war tonight. NXT versus AEW tonight.
Oh, that's probably also why we got half the WWE talent there.
Yeah,
but there is a promo segment with MJF and William Regal that. And
really, really good.
MJF pulls up basically William Regal's rejection email to him saying, call me when you're ready, kid. Yeah. I don't know if that's real or not, but you could see in MJF's eyes it was real.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very, very good segment. Even if you don't like AEW, go on YouTube, I guess, and find this segment alone, because MJF, man, he really embodies like the angry... You know,
passion.
Yeah, he was pissed tonight.
Yeah, man. One of his best promos, one of his best segments. Definitely go out of your way to watch that. Another match in the Crown Jewel was announced too. Brock versus Bobby. I guess we all saw that coming after last week's interaction. Wonderful thing on Raw when they just, the brawl that they had where Bobby slammed Brock through the announcer's table. That was wonderful. I'm way into this feud. I know. I think last week I said I made it seem like they haven't had this feud before. They did have a match, but I want to see like a long term feud between these two.
I don't. There's nobody wins out of this. Nobody. Either one of them is getting devalued unless they continue to have matches and it goes back and forth. I'm bored with it.
I mean, maybe, but what if they put on some really good wrestling matches where they both look strong?
Brock can't go for more than 10 minutes. I mean, I was shocked at the last Roman match he had with the ring collapsing, but Brock looks awful after 10. Both of them, they both start dripping.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't want to see like a 4 out of 7 you know, thing, but I think almost a one-off. Maybe you do a 2-off where each guy wins. I could even maybe tolerate 2 out of 3, but you know, since they are both legit MMA fighters, there will be some realism to this. You know, they're probably very good at protecting each other with the actual MMA moves. Like, hey, I'm going to put you in a Kimura, but I'm not going to lock it in completely, and it's going to look real. It's just they're both so bad on the mic. I mean, Bobby Lashley just looks confused with the mic on his hand. It's just like, what do I do? Like, oh. And Brock has got the speaking ability of Lance Storm on lithium. So you talk about, and I know Heyman helped Brock out a lot, but you talk about two guys who really need a mouthpiece. It's these two guys.
Yeah. All right, moving on to some AEW news. Warner Discovery is producing outside of the ring content with AEW. They have been informed that they are doing a behind the scenes documentary style thing. I think this is great. We need more of this in AEW, I think.
I mean, anything that makes AEW look a little more pro. Of course, I have a feeling this will come off looking like a public access show. I just don't have... You can't go up against the WWE and their production skills. It's unless you start hiring some of those people.
Well, if they bring in the Warner Discovery people, I mean, they're making movies and shit and good documentaries. So hopefully they bring in that high quality production team to do some cool outside of the ring stuff to get people more involved. Maybe, you know, inform us of some of these wrestlers and who they are and what they're doing. Because like we've complained before, people show up, have a match, and we don't even know who they are or where they came from.
Yeah, I mean, especially me, like, yeah, and I mean this in a complimentary way, like, I would say you and John are into the Mark territory. I'm a Mark of the mainstream stuff, but I have, like I said, I had no idea who Jay White was, or, you know, the Motor City.
I have no clue who he is.
But I mean, like, I would say I'm the least knowledgeable among the three of us, unless it's like, you know, the mainstream guys.
But I actually think you're the most knowledgeable about
the past of wrestling.
Yeah, you've got more of the past knowledge.
100%. But, like, I had no idea, and this goes back to what you just said, who the Motor City Mechanics were. And apparently
machine
they're
guns.
Oh. No, the Motor City Mechanics was the... the UHL hockey team. Sorry. Yeah,
of course you know hockey teams.
But, like, what you just said, like, they were in the one match with Jay Lethal as his tag team partners, and then they just disappeared. Like,
yeah.
Why bring them in? You've spent 6, 7, 8 months with Satnam Singh as this on-screen character. Just have Jay Lethal doing, like, 90% of the match. He comes in, does a power move, he tags out. That made no sense to me.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, some more promo packages and videos, behind the scenes, documentaries like that. I'm all for it. We need more of that in AEW if you want people to get invested in who your wrestlers are. I wanted to bring this up. It's not in my notes, but I noticed today in Dynamite, they mentioned the Elite on television, which they've been avoiding this entire time. They didn't even wish Kenny Omega a happy birthday. They wished Fuego del Sol a happy birthday on their Twitter, but not Kenny Omega.
Well, I bought 2 Kenny Omega t-shirts from ProWrestlingTees.com, so I would have thought he would have tagged me in the photo.
Yeah, well.
For
yeah.
the record, it's a work.
It's a work. It's not a work.
There's no legal situation where they can't wish him a happy birthday.
I guess. I mean, unless they end up, you know, because what if Tony is on Punk's side and he wants to get rid of the Elite? You know what I mean? Like,
he's an idiot if he gets rid of the Elite.
Well, for the money he spent, he better be on Punk's side.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's weird. They haven't mentioned them. They haven't even wished them happy birthday, all this shit. And then today, they finally mentioned the Elite during the Trios match. So I thought that was cool. And then also, before Jericho's match for the Ring of Honor Championship, they put a little promo package of all of the previous Ring of Honor champions, and there was Seth Rollins, and there was a bunch of WWE guys, I'm just going to say.
He's going to keep doing that, because I assume buying ROH, he gets all of that, those
archives. Very
smart. Oh, yeah.
Smart. I like
that. He's going to keep prodding and poking until Triple H loses his mind.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, listen, when you have the money Tony Khan does, you're not a complete idiot. So, like,
right.
He's done a lot of things right, but he has done some things right with AEW. So hopefully, you know, the new TV shows or whatever, bear that in mind.
Well, they also, I think, I don't know where I saw this. It might be Brian Alvarez or one of those dirt sheet folks, but someone mentioned that Tony Khan will have good news about ROH TV very soon. So we might get an announcement very soon about that. I know tonight after Dynamite, we got that Full Gear is going to be happening, and we're going to get MJF and Mox. So, you know, things are happening. Also, the last story I have for AEW, Jericho has joined Moxley and extended his contract. So Jericho is going to be there till 2025. And last week I mentioned Mox's extension, but I didn't mention that that extension also came with additional responsibilities, coaching and mentorship, and the same is applying for Jericho. He's got a lot more responsibility backstage, so I think they're listening to us in the fact that we want the veterans should be helping out so we can avoid all this bullshit that John thinks is a work.
Well, I mean, I just hope it doesn't get into that territory when Nash was in charge in WCW, has an older guy mentoring the Goldbergs and or allegedly mentoring those guys, and then he was just putting himself over. I don't think Jericho and Moxley would do that to that degree, but, you know, they need writers. They don't need...
But that's also going to... We have to also take into consideration that it's going to rub some people the wrong way, because Jericho, yes, Mox is not what I would consider a veteran. I mean, there are people in AEW that have been doing it just as long as him. And I think that's sort of the sentiment that Hangman had with CM Punk, saying, listen to the older guys. And Hangman's like, I've fucking been doing this for 20 years. Like, don't tell me that I'm not, that I need to listen to every word out of everybody. Something's working for me. that I'm in the position I'm in. Granted, he's in AEW, so
I will say I'm starting to like Hangman a little more. Like, he's starting to get a little more rebellious.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's real or someone told him, hey, dude, you got to start out your personality.
Yeah, he was a little too Ric Flair move where he punched himself in the face till he bled.
Yeah, he was a little too cheesy back when he was trying to be a face.
Like that John Cena, good guy. Like,
he's a cowboy. The kids are going to love him. No, he needs to be like bleeding all the time.
Yeah, cowboy shit isn't for kids. It's supposed to be cowboy shit. So, I mean, I'll give him this. When he was world champion, like when he got the belt, I was like, I don't think he's ready. And then every defense that he had was really cool, intense, you know, a lot of blood, and, you know, they were good matches. So he has potential. I think they rushed him to the championship, but he definitely has potential to keep growing. Same as MJF. And you know, I don't know. We'll see where that goes.
Well, I think when he was the champion, I'm going to do a boxing reference that might lose some people, but when Larry Holmes was the champ, and he was basically the champ right before Mike Tyson, there was just no one for him to fight. So his reign isn't looked at as favorable as, you know, obviously Ali before him and then Tyson. And I think that was Hangman's problem, that with all the injuries and whatnot, that his championship run was a little just there.
I mean, didn't he go up against Brian Danielson?
I think he had a match with Brian and then
Kenny too.
But like there was, it just seemed to kind of fall flat after, like, he had two guys, maybe Punk, just getting into the mix, but it wasn't, you know, like, you're going to remember the matches, but right, I think most fans, like fans like me, are going to go, I forget who did he wrestle?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we'll see. I think he has another really good run down the road. I don't think he's winning against Mox. I mean, that was tonight. I don't think, I didn't watch it. I don't think he's winning that. I definitely think we're getting Mox and MJF at the end at Full Gear instead of Hangman and MJF. But I think Hangman definitely has potential to get another run down the road. That'll do it for the news. We got a topic. I chose celebrities because we have the upcoming crown jewel, Roman Reigns versus a celebrity, basically, Logan Paul. I wanted to see what our favorite celebrity in-ring performance has been so far. For me, I mean, shit, I got to give it to Logan Paul. It's kind of, I hate the guy personally as a human because of all the shit he's done, but it was the most impressive in-ring performance. Another reason I wanted to bring this up is also, I don't know if you guys have been keeping up, but AEW decided to dip their toes in bringing in some TikTokers, and they brought in the Voros twins, which I have never heard of, but it is horrific. And they're bringing them in. They brought them into Dark. Thankfully, they lost. But I do not encourage AEW or anyone to start bringing in TikTokers to wrestle. And if you do, I hope they get crushed immediately, squashed. Put them up against Wardlow. Have them do 27 power bombs. Because I don't give a shit. Like, I don't know if you guys see this, but who the fuck are these guys?
I mean, they look like Ziggler's brother if he didn't work out.
It looks like a clean version of those Island Boys.
I mean, I would use wrestlers in the comedy spots. Like, you know,
there's plenty of wrestling talent to use that we don't need to be bringing TikTokers into this.
But like our buddy Briley, Ryan Nemeth.
Yeah.
He's really funny in those comedy spots where Wardlow power bombs him, or when Hook beat the you-know-what out of him.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a guy already who's probably more popular to wrestling fans than those two guys are. I saw them. I thought, oh, this is New Japan, like, freaks they're just bringing in.
Nope, just TikTokers.
So, you've got 12,000 people on your roster. You don't need to bring in TikTokers.
No. But anyway, my favorite celebrity in-ring performance. I mean, I don't know. If I want to go way back, I'll say Mr. T. But I'll give it to Logan Paul. How about you?
I got kind of an obscure one because it was a very, very short run. And, you know, I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. I thought Kevin Green in his very short time in the wrestling business was really good because he was very – he just did power moves, you know, shoulder tackles and whatnot. But he was pretty good on the mic. And that's my – you know, he was good. And, you know, Mongo McMichael, if I can not – I like Kevin Green better. But, you know, Mongo, for someone who had zero wrestling training, was a pretty good fourth horseman. Like, he did the least out of – the four that, you know, he was in there with. You know, obviously Benoit, Flair, and Anderson did the majority. And I think Malenko was in there in some version. I'm going to go with Kevin Green.
All right. How about you, John?
I actually have to go with Logan also. And I don't even know which match because both of his matches were pretty amazing. I would say I was more impressed by his first one against The Miz.
Yeah.
I mean, he did for a non...
Oh, with The Miz. His first match was with The Miz. Second one was against The Miz.
For a non-wrestler, I thought he looked like he had put in the work.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that as a stupid wrestling fan. Okay, this guy just didn't just come in and go, okay, I'm here. What do I do?
And it's different than Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny would have been a runner-up, but he, and I based on what Triple H said, and he does look like he put in the work, but it seemed like it was just a lot of him jumping around and people catching him because he's
tall. Yeah, yeah, even the Canadian Destroyer that everybody flipped out about, like that was Miz. All John Morrison.
Morrison.
All right, next up, a favorite celebrity appearance, not in a match. I will go with Mike Tyson. I was a very young kid. I loved Mike Tyson growing up. My family was a big boxing family as well. So seeing him mix it up with, you know, Stone Cold and DX and all that was really cool for me. So that is my number one celebrity appearance that wasn't a match. How about you?
I'm not saying this because I live in West Hollywood, but Liberace at WrestleMania. No, he killed it. Like, you know, it's just the ridiculousness. But he was actually an amazing musician. So he was a celebrity when... back when you had to have an actual talent.
Yeah.
So I'm sure most fans are going to be like, dude, get out of town. But it fit what the event was. Larger than life, diamond jackets, and the bouffant hairdo. Liberace all day for me.
All right. John?
This is going to sound stupid. I don't know if it even... I guess it does qualify, but as much as I hate... as much as I hate CM Punk, Living Color, bringing him in, that was a pretty cool moment.
Great band that never got the credit because of their Body Glove outfits. Like, they were all virtuosos on their instruments.
I'm looking at the list of, like, people that have performed at WrestleManias. There are some good candidates on here. Skylar Grey had a great performance. I hate Machine Gun Kelly. Flo Rida, Kid Rock. John Legend, I mean, P.O.D., Limp Bizkit. Like, they had a good lineup of live performances.
Limp Bizkit. Fred Durst was a playable character in their fucking video game.
I mean, they had a solid rundown of performers at WrestleMania.
And if you're a band, I mean, to be associated with any wrestler, to be associated with The Undertaker, that's a big one. So.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's why I always loved Triple H, because he made Motorhead's career later in their...
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know, when they're getting a little older and, you know, everyone only knows them as Ace of Spades, but now everyone knows them as The Game, the theme from Evolution. And they, you know, I think probably Triple H faced resistance of like, no one knows who this band is, bro. And it's like, no, I'm friends with Lemmy. I want him to do my music. So he made Lemmy and the rest of those guys a lot of money later on in their career. So
I paid money for the Triple H anniversary vinyl, which is basically all Motorhead music.
So. And you can play it on the new Comedy Store record player.
Yes, we still have some available on the website. Go check it.
Available at the Comedy Store website.
It's got Earl's name on it.
Not many things mean a lot to me in this business, but every now and then I look at the record player, and it is pretty cool to have your name on it, you know, and a lot of people will be like... especially when you come here and see all the names on the wall. There's a lot of names on the wall. But guess what, you tax-cheating frauds? There's a lot of names that aren't on that wall, and I'll never be on the wall as long as I have something to do with it.
All right, and then finally, so we can wrap this up, which celebrity would you like to see involved in pro wrestling, perhaps at a Mania or something like that? I'm going to divert to you real quick because I need to. I had an answer and then it just faded away because I've been drinking. So let's just start and I'll get it back.
Well, you want someone that can match the magnitude of what WrestleMania is. So I'm going to go with Tom Cruise.
Oh, he's like, crazy enough to do some bumps.
He would come down flying on a cable with bombs exploding behind him. Obviously, probably the most well-known actor of both of our generations. I mean, like, and, you know, he doesn't need the money, so he probably wouldn't do it. I don't believe Tom Cruise is a wrestling fan.
No.
I don't know why I say that. It's just an assumption. I don't think there's many Scientologist wrestling fans. But I would love if they could somehow talk him into doing some schmaltzy Top Gun entrance. Maybe you have a, like, Austin Theory dressed up as a fighter pilot, and then, I mean, I don't know, Tom Cruise is, like, behind him.
We're hearing Earl's wet dream right now.
I'm hard as a rock. I would. Oh, if you want my wet dream, it would be. I.
That's next week's topic.
It's gonna be me on top of Dewdrop.
Ooh.
And she's playing a camel, and I'm an Arabian prince.
Okay.
And is Vicky Guerrero in the background yelling too?
100%. I'm not a celebrity per se, but trust me, I'd get a reaction. I'd be right on Dewdrop's hump.
Jesus Christ.
I remembered when he said Tom Cruise, who I had in mind, and it was Brad Pitt, similar situation. Somebody who, you know, Fight Club, somebody has gotten physical, somebody that, I enjoy his work. I think he'd be cool to be a part. Have him and Tom Cruise have a match at WrestleMania. Fuck it.
That would be, that actually is, you know, the two big, or Leonardo DiCaprio, maybe a three-way, a fatal three-way with DiCaprio, Brad Pitt. If there's worse matches.
I keep thinking about, what's his name, Wolverine, when he showed up, Hugh Jackman.
Oh. That'd be pretty cool.
I don't think, he did show up. He punched like a third grader. I don't think any of them know how to really fight.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, Tom Cruise seems like the type of guy that will learn how to box professionally before showing up or something.
Dude, I just saw the trailer for Creed 3. My pick is Michael B. Jordan. That guy
is fucking
jacked, and he can fight. I am on board with Michael B. Jordan coming in and destroying people, or Chris Hemsworth.
That could be cool.
But here's the thing I didn't like about the Creed movies, and I'm a big Rocky guy, and I actually really liked Apollo Creed as a character. I just feel like I'm watching a video game, the fight scenes. It just... And I know, obviously, that if you go back to the first Rocky, you can actually see there was really no one in the arena. Like, and that's why they darkened out the seats.
Yeah.
But I still prefer that because it looked like a real fight.
The problem with a lot of the younger directors now, like Ryan Coogler, is everything has to be a beautiful, fancy, seamless thing. And it can't just be a dirty fight anymore. Like, Rocky V gets a lot of shit, but that street fight was shot so raw. Like, it was such a raw directing. Like, yeah, I watched that street fight. I'm like, the whole movie sucks, but this was done right if you're going to film a street fight.
But, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I watched Rocky V the other night because I'm like, let me just revisit it. And the fighting was very good because Tommy Morrison was a legit heavyweight champ. Like,
yeah.
It's the worst of the Rocky movies, but I don't.
Rocky Balboa was pretty bad.
Yeah, but Rocky V's like, it's not as bad as I think people remember it as, but it's kind of like Rambo 3. Like, Rambo is so clear, the first one, is so clear the head of the class in that franchise. But, shout out to Tommy Morrison. Boy, you really... And, you know, his wife or ex-girlfriend at the time said, you know, when he died, there was no AIDS in his body. Okay.
Did you suck it out?
You know, it makes me, I'm getting a little misty-eyed because that was like my last favorite era of watching heavyweight boxing.
Okay.
And my God, he had such potential. And that, I think it was a 30 for 30. I hate seeing people with that kind of potential just not die, but just piss away the talent. He could have been the heavyweight champ.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, shout out to Tom. We'll end on an AIDS note. Tommy Morrison.
Yeah, let's head that on AIDS. Let's do some plugs real quick. Make sure you're following us at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Store Is War on Twitter. You can follow me at RRBG Podcast. Earl?
At Earl Skakel everywhere. And after you listen to this podcast, I also have my own Inappropriate Earl podcast, which, you know, is a comedy-based podcast, but we do wrestling. We've had boxers and bad guys from Superman, too. You know, Rogan gets presidents. I get actors who haven't worked in 40 years.
Or, you know, maybe at some point me.
That's what they call in the business a crossover. And we're going to play a game. If you listen to all 300 and, I think, 55 episodes of Inappropriate Earl, and I've probably had about 290 to 300 individual guests. Some came back. Try and guess which guest I've slept with.
Yeah, that's a fun game.
If you come up with the right number, I'll send you a free Inappropriate Earl t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
Yeah, there you go. And make sure...
Trust me, it's double digits.
Oh. Make sure you follow John at Comedy Store Studios. Stick around. We got a special outsider segment with a very special guest. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Comedy Store Wrestling. We are here for a special Outsiders segment, and we are being joined by a very special guest, the Podfather himself, the leader of the Death Squad, Brian Redband.
Hey.
How are you?
How's it going, guys? So great to be back here.
Yeah, do you miss it?
Yeah, you guys have done a lot down here.
But you've done a lot. I don't think you people know. Yes, he's associated with Rogan, but how many comics you have helped?
Oh yeah,
putting on the Death Squad shows. I mean, you pay comics. You're killing it at the Vulcan Gas Mining Company. Yeah. Is that the right word?
Yeah, the EDM Club.
Like, you have helped probably outside of Joe and Moses with Roast Battle. Like, no one has helped more comics than you. So enjoy this man, you wrestling goobers.
Yeah, man. I mean, honestly, as a podcaster myself, like, I wouldn't be in podcasting if it wasn't for you.
Wow. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I watched you start up the Rogan Show and everything else you've done with Death Squad, and I was like, I want to do that. And
cool.
Here we are.
Awesome.
Well, we're going to do the Outsiders segment where we're going to... I want to ask you, first off, what's your knowledge of wrestling? What do you know about wrestling?
I mean, I was really into it when I was a kid. I mean, that was number one. My first time I ever had sex was... WrestleMania 3 was on the TV in my friend's basement.
While you were banging?
While we were banging. I just remember going, this is the best time of my life. I can't believe Hulk Hogan. And, you know, like.
That chick's a winner.
You got to close the chick's eyes. Like, don't look at the muscle guys.
Yeah. I actually do remember, though, like, having sex for my first time and watching wrestling, though. Like, I wasn't even paying attention or to the sex part. that's how dumb it was. And I guess that was like. It's 15, so
okay.
And then after that, I kind of just stopped. I think when I got a car, I just kind of this is better having a car.
all right, and you've never gone back.
Never gone back. I mean, I don't like a lot of my friends all like wrestling still, and so you know, I'll watch it here and there if they're watching it, but nothing really.
All right.
Perfect for the outside segment.
Yeah, we created this segment just for people like you, and so we're gonna list off a few wrestlers for you. And I want you to improv guess what they look like.
Okay.
If you know who they are, just pretend. I don't know. Okay.
All right.
Probably not. I got some really obscure names today. There's one that you might know. But yeah, we'll give you the name. Guess what they look like. And, you know, if you can, guess what they're... Or make a funny joke of what you think their finishing move might be.
Okay. Yeah, so Kim Congdon, when she guessed who the big boss man was.
Oh, my God.
A cop... And his finishing move was shooting.
Okay.
you know, we'll just.
Oh, yeah.
So, first and foremost on the list, we've got the Shockmaster.
Shockmaster. All right. Really lanky, tall guy. he's got really long fingers. Ooh. Stinky fingers.
Stinky fingers.
And his finishing this move. Shock- yeah, yeah. His finishing move is sliding one in at the very end.
Woo!
Well, I don't. Oh, so no, maybe you're onto something. Dude.
Okay,
so that is the wearing a stormtrooper.
Yeah, so this guy's just a huge nerd.
John, can you pull up the video of his debut, because it is the best thing I've ever seen in my life, and There's also like some legends there. Isn't like Sting there and Luger?
Basically, what happened is they did a dry run rehearsal where everything worked out, and then in between, someone had put an extra board. So the guy tripped. This whole thing was no one knew who he was.
Right? Yeah.
So then you'll see what happens.
He was here to be the shock master.
There's Sting.
They can't even pay for YouTube Premium down.
I'm just lucky we have the internet down here.
I mean, I'll give you my login, dude. Right.
Let's go to the gay test.
Do you look up wrestling and it happens?
Oh, yeah. We got Ric Flair, Sid Vicious, Booker T. Fucking Sting is there. British Bulldog.
Before you get carried away, who their special tag team partner is, brother, you better cool down.
You got Ric Flair hyping him up.
Yeah.
It seems to me, if you were as smart as you act like you are, you wouldn't have waited this close to war game.
WCW was out of control, dude.
Look at the bimbo in the back.
Yeah, she's just standing around. No idea what's going on. Ric Flair's like, fuck it, I'm gonna go fuck this bimbo. You guys deal with it. That was not
hilarious.
Supposed to
happen. So everyone knew it was Tugboat.
The silence and everyone's quiet, like, shit, you just ate it.
Yeah, everyone's amazement.
Like, are we cutting? Are we doing this again?
Sid's saving the whole angle.
He's actually mad at him for ruining the segment.
Oh my God!
God, look at him trying not to laugh.
You want a piece of me? Come after me, Sid. I'm ready. Along with Davey Boy, Sting, and Dusty Rhodes, we'll see you at the Fall Brawl at the War Games.
If we put a lot of glitter on it, we can't tell it's a Stormtrooper helmet.
Right. Yeah, how'd they not get in trouble with, like, Lucasfilms and stuff like that?
That's Ted Turner. He's like, I got more money than George Lucas. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Dude, that voice. What's the bad guy from...
Arne Anderson.
Well, no, no.
No, the bad Ole guy from... Anderson.
The bad guy from Inspector Gadget.
Oh, yeah. I'll get you, Gadget.
That would be...
Oh, man. All right. Number two on the list, I got Hakushi.
Well, absolutely a white person.
So far, I'm on board.
Hakushi, no. This is an Asian gentleman. He's short. His finishing move is crashing your car out of the ring. I don't know.
I have a feeling that's not it.
Hey, yeah,
there you go.
Pretty close.
Not bad.
Pretty close.
Wow.
He did the Raiden thing for a while for Mortal Kombat.
Oh, okay.
But he, you know.
Are those tattoos or no?
No. So I want to know, though, what he was using because it never came off.
Oh, weird.
Whatever material.
Sharpie.
Yeah,
must have been Sharpie.
Probably henna tattoos.
Maybe.
Like
henna.
High-end henna tattoos.
But I would never see it, like, rub off after matches or anything, you know? Like, it wasn't, like, just paint. You know?
I like that, though. I like that look.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Is he still around?
No.
What happened?
I don't know. Is he alive? I don't even know if Hakushi's alive.
Probably died. Yeah. I mean, most wrestlers don't live past 50.
Yeah.
Viper was the
all
exception.
All the steroids and the heart attacks.
The
yeah.
pain pills, the pussy. Like, what a life, man.
Yeah, brother. Wow. All right. Abdullah the Butcher.
Also a white guy. No, I'm guessing big guy, big afro, wears like a apron, you know, like a butcher apron.
A butcher apron?
Okay. And his finishing move is like chopping, He's chopping.
Oh, because he's a butcher.
Chop to get double chop.
Oh, damn. Pretty close. Dude. Oh. I mean, that's
that okay. is Abdullah the Butcher.
Wow. His, that's
look at those tits.
Side boobs. I've,
oh, he's big.
Look at that third picture.
Wow. Oh, gross.
Of him. What is he eating?
Yeah. It's.
I think it's an octopus.
John, are we back? Are you back there? Let me get that third picture on the top.
Which one?
All the way up? Go to the third picture. That one. What is he eating?
Probably some.
Oh, that's liver. He is just chewing on liver. But anyway, you see these cuts on his forehead?
Oh, gross.
You could stick a quarter in him.
Yeah, dude. He would literally get a fork and like stab himself in the forehead.
And he got sued by another because he had hepatitis.
Yeah, and he was giving
so it he didn't
to
tell anyone. So he gave some, you know. Because in wrestling, you don't really blade the other person. You know, they do it.
Right.
And he was just like, fuck it. And he gave the guy hepatitis.
Oh, my God.
I met him once at his rib joint in Atlanta. Oh, my God.
He has a rib joint in Atlanta? Of course he does.
Let's just say he wasn't good with business. He had a rib joint. But he's literally over the grill.
Ew.
With hepatitis, sweat dripping into the burgers. So I got a Snickers bar off of it.
Something packaged.
Nest.
Yes, definitely you want packaged food.
So this is the one I think you might know.
Okay.
And this is Sandman.
Don't know Sandman.
Okay. What do you think Sandman looks like?
Jeez, I can't stop thinking of Spider-Man. Sandman.
Somebody made a sand.
Yeah. No, okay, I guess this guy is Arabian. he's in traditional Aladdin garb. Okay. And he comes to the ring on a rug.
Really?
He sings Arabian Nights.
Yeah, and he walks like an Egyptian.
And what's his finisher? What's his finisher?
It's buying a bunch of prostitutes to come and take him away. I don't know.
We're not talking about a comic. We're talking about wrestling.
All right, Sandman. We got.
Yeah. Well, I was way off on
way
that.
Way off.
This is
ECW legend Sandman. He would come to the ring through the crowd with a beer and smash it on his forehead until he's bled. You could see some of
wow.
that.
But no one would want to wrestle with him because he literally started at the far end of the arena. He'd pop a beer, drink it. He was literally 10 beers in.
Before he got to the ring.
And no one, you know, these guys are doing dangerous shit. So he's hammered, and like people were like, ah.
Why was he called the Sandman?
He would come out to Metallica's after Sandman.
Oh, jeez.
And the crowd would. It was a cool. I don't know how they got the rights to that song, or maybe they didn't, and they
didn't give a
winged
fuck.
It.
Yeah.
It was a pretty cool entrance.
But he was an extreme wrestler. You know, obviously, you see the kendo stick, and, you know, he'd come out with cigarettes. He'd pour beer on the fans, and it's like, yeah, it's not going to happen anymore, right? With after COVID and everything, they're not going to let that happen.
He actually seems like the one I would like to hang out with the most.
So I'll share a quick story. I did get to hang out with him after a PCW Ultra, and he spent hours talking about crypto.
Oh, never mind. That's the worst. Wait, let's talk about NFTs.
He kept buying tequila shots, which is nice, but it was a lot of crypto talk.
Do you know that comic Zoltan?
Zoltan,
like
yeah.
A San Diego
yeah.
comic.
Yeah.
We did this show called Championship Comedy where each wrestler would walk out with a comic. The comic would do 5 minutes. The wrestler would do 5 minutes.
Wow.
So he brings that kendo stick out, and he whispers to Zoltan, I'm just going to hit you on the shoulder. It doesn't hurt. And so he had a couple beers on him and just hit Zoltan right across in the face.
Oh, shit.
And Zoltan loved it, though. Like, that's a Sandman.
That's hilarious.
All right. Next up, we got Gangrel.
Gangrel? Okay. Black guy. He's got a bunch of silver in his mouth. His finishing move is... God, and let's not get in trouble.
Yeah, this is
okay. Let's not go to the Kim Condon.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Gangrel. I don't know. His finishing move is smash and grabbing.
Smash and grab. Breaking and entering.
Right, I think we have our first viral moment of this episode.
Well, that's not what you thought. No, not at all, man. This guy's
a vampire. Looker.
What? Gangrel.
Gangrel. He's a vampire. He would come out with Edge and Christian. They were called the New Brood. He would drink a cup of blood and spit it out in the air, and they would come out with a lot of fire.
Ooh, hope it wasn't Magic Johnson.
That is awful.
I thought it was Gangrel.
Oh, Gangrel. Well, he does have an interesting grill with the teeth.
Oh, yeah.
I think he got the surgery to get the fangs.
Yeah.
I don't think that's one of those, like...
These guys aren't very attractive, huh? That's why The Rock was just so famous.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Edge is like maybe, maybe his partners, but no.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next up, figure we need some females that we need to talk about. So let's give me a description of Bull Nakano.
Nakano, okay. Asian girl, short hair, not very feminine. what's her name again?
Bull Nakano.
Okay, and at the end of the move, she just... tries her best.
Smashes into you as hard as she can.
Give me
Nakano.
Bull Nakano.
Well, hey!
Is she Asian? Yeah.
Love the Asian.
Sort of.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been with worse.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if that's her.
Wow.
If that's her, she's really cute.
Yeah, bottom left. That's not bad.
This is her iconic look, though, with the spiky hair up in the air. She's a legend, though. I don't remember what her actual finisher was. Do you?
I think it was the squirter.
That's good. So, yeah, that's that. I mean,
it's weird seeing her out of makeup, though.
Yeah,
she looks
even with makeup, right here. I mean, I'd go for
it's
it.
Not horrible.
I'd go for it right here, too. Whatever. I mean, that's not bad. All right.
Well, last one.
Aja Kong.
Aja Kong. Jeez, that also seems like that would be Asian. Aja. Yeah, okay. Let's go with black.
I'll take black for $500.
Aja Kong. Oh, wait. No, I see. I shouldn't have said that now. She's dresses up like a gorilla.
King Kong?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Finishing move, it's pounding her chest and squirting milk all over her opponent.
Oh, my God.
Wait, that's my finishing.
Hey.
In about 2 hours.
Yeah.
Hey-o!
Oh, I mean,
I think she's a Blasian.
Yeah.
If I'm, Blasian is?
Yeah, I think she's
black and Asian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She might be Blasian.
That's got to be weird if you're a dude. I mean, how big is your dick?
Yeah. Why the Kong?
I don't know.
I don't want to get canceled.
No, right, it's canceled. Right.
Anyway, what are you going to cancel for me? My $20 OR spot? So.
Oh, well, fuck. That's great. That's all we had. But, wow. Red Band, what do you got going on? Let our fans, a few fans, know exactly what you got going on. What are you promoting? What are you doing here tonight?
I actually have a secret show tonight. I brought 7 comics from Austin, some of the best comics, and mixing it in with some LA comics. But I have, back in Austin, if you're ever in Austin, I have Kill Tony every Monday. I have my secret show every Thursday there, and I do a virtual reality show lately. So
virtual Red Band, right?
Virtual
I'm
Red
always
Band.
In chat.
Yeah, Earl and Ari are always in the chat room.
Is any person in there? No one ever answers my questions.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's just me fucking around in virtual reality.
Nice,
as a woman. Yeah.
I watch it. I don't know what you guys are playing on. Right. I'm not.
I don't think they're playing. I think they're just chatting, right?
We're playing. Yeah, we're going to comedy clubs. We're going on roller coasters. Okay. It's pretty much you can do whatever you want.
It is funny, because you guys are all comic. It's mostly all comics.
Yeah.
So it's funny to watch. I don't know what the hell I'm watching.
Yeah. It's. I always say it's good. It's a good show to put on in the background where you're doing other shit. 100%. Yeah.
Okay. I recently got an Oculus Quest, so.
Oh, yeah.
I might jump.
Join us.
Join you guys.
Yeah, you can join us.
Oh, and then you can follow him. Where do we
Red Band.
Red Band.
DeathSquad.tv.
Buy some shirts. He's got some really cool designs. Yeah. Yeah. And like you mention my name, you get absolutely nothing taken off.
Jeez. Use the promo code. There is no
Earl.
Promo code.
Yeah. Earl. He does so much for comics, dude. This is on the real.
Like, for sure. I mean, I see you in Kill Tony every time. Like you see somebody that has talent, you're like, come to the secret
show. Yeah, or a woman. Yeah.
Or a woman, yeah. Did I say man? Comic, comedian, woman, man, I don't know.
Yeah. But all those comics in Austin who moved from here and other places who would have no stage time at all, you give them a lot of stage time.
Yeah.
So buy a t-shirt from them. Yeah. You didn't ask us to say this, but like, I don't know why I'm looking into this. The side.
Side you're looking into the side.
I'm like looking in. Maybe there's a third camera in
here. I'm the one drinking.
So Red Band's the best. Support them.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you
for joining us, man.